This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. Anthony Vasquez here, joined today by my friend Tessa of the Instagram handle Foodie. And we talk about all things food, building an audience on Instagram. And Tessa shares her passion for, most importantly, dessert, and how her passion for dessert has turned into an amazing side hustle and now business for her. And I love the story. I love her passion about it. I love the fact that she took a concept, ran with it, and now has developed a little niche in the marketplace. So without further ado, I bring you my friend Tessa from Foodie. What is up, everybody? So today I'm joined by my guest, Tessa of Foodie. I'm super excited. This is the first time I've ever had a food blogger on. So much to talk about. But first, before we get started, if you could just tell everyone who doesn't know you, who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
So my name's Tessa. Yes. I run the food and lifestyle brand Foodie. Mm-hmm. 4 O's, 3 E's on Instagram.
How many times do you say that?
A lot. And it's funny because people now say like, oh, you're like Foodie. So it's very like specific. I also have a Facebook page and a Twitter, also a website. I am a food influencer.
Cool.
People like to use that word. I like to say blogger, but blogger, yeah. The more professional word is influencer.
But more specific, like dessert influencer, right? Like
food porn. So no diet ever.
Yeah.
You can never, I don't post salads. I don't post anything healthy. Maybe on my story once in a while, but a lot of food porn, high calorie, a lot of fun
stuff. All the good stuff for you.
Yes.
Cool. So I'm so excited to talk to you because I know so many people in today's economy want to have a Instagram account and they want to have a successful Instagram account. And, you know, when people talk to me about that, I'm like, what are you engaging? What are you offering that people don't already know or can't find out on their own? And, you know, obviously you've grown a huge following with this. So how did you start? Like, at what moment were you like, had an aha moment? Like, okay, I'm going to start an Instagram handle called Foodie featuring the most ridiculous desserts.
So in 2014, mm-hmm. I was on the train, the Long Island Railroad, and I was on my personal Instagram scrolling through, you know, normal day. Mm-hmm. And I came across a really good looking ice cream donut sandwich. And I had this moment of like, it's like 9 a.m. I was like, oh my God, I'm like drooling. I want this right now. And I thought to myself how cool it would be to have people react to my own photos that way. Mm-hmm. So I signed out of Instagram, signed up. I wanted to do Foodie the normal way it's spelled, but it was already taken. So I was like, let me just add a few extra O's and E's, signed up. I started my account as like a repost account. Mm-hmm. So if you were to post a burger with cheese, you know, dripping out of it, I would repost you. And probably when I was about at 30,000, which is a lot of people, I was featured in Cosmopolitan as one of the top 15 food Instagrams to happen. So that was kind of my aha moment of, okay, this is like more than just a fun, you know, little thing. So that's kind of the beginning.
So the idea comes out, you start posting pictures, and without knowing it, someone features you on.
I had no idea. No, I was on the train again.
I love this stuff.
And I got a message from like a 50-year-old man. He had like 2 followers and he's like, I just wanted to thank Cosmopolitan for sending me to you. And I'm like, first of all,
yeah,
like,
creepy.
First of all, I'm like, I didn't know what to expect because it was very weird.
Hashtag super creepy. Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let me just go on Cosmopolitan.com. Like, I'm not going to be there. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about ever. So I go on my phone and it says the first article, top 15 food Instagrams to follow. So I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm on this. Like, I'm no one.
That's crazy.
I'm scrolling and I see my name. And I think I like screamed on the train and everyone was like, what's going on? And I remember I called my family. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Go look at your phone. I sent them the link. It was the most insane moment ever.
So obviously, you know, I'm not a big believer in luck. I think luck is bullshit, right? It's luck is where hard work comes out in the universe, right? So obviously you started putting it out there and then someone picked it up. So not necessarily lucky. It's just, I think when you put stuff out there, it has the ability to be seen by other people. Some people would say that's luck. I don't think it is. So at that moment, now you're like, okay, this is an actual viable business here or still a side hustle at that point?
Still a side hustle.
Okay. So still a side hustle at this point too, no? Or
I don't think a side hustle anymore. No. Maybe like a bigger hustle.
A bigger hustle, yeah.
So that point was just more like, hey, come in for a free meal in exchange for a post, or hey, can I send you cookies? Now, which we'll probably get into, 523,000 followers later.
Yes.
It's definitely a business which I've created.
And for people who are listening or engaging or entertaining starting an Instagram handle that they want to commoditize, right? But first, I would probably say, and I think you'll agree, if you go into it with commoditization as the end result and trying to make money off of it, it's probably not going to be very successful, right?
Correct.
Yours was really just organic.
It was very organic.
Love. Yeah. There's an organic love there. You love dessert. I mean, so do I, right?
Yeah.
I just don't eat that much of it because diabetes runs rampant in my family. And I'm trying to live as long as I possibly can. But that being said, I can go to Black Tap and get down with one of those, you know, like, right. I'm also lactose intolerant. So that creates some other issues for me. But, at that moment, did you say, okay, now I'm really going to focus in on this? And then how does one, even after that, start thinking, you're reverse engineering this and saying, how can I make money off this? Where it's, you know, it's great to have a hobby where you post pictures to Instagram, but at the end of the day, if that's not something you can live off of, it is just that, it's just a hobby.
Yeah. So when I hit that moment and people started to recognize me as more than just a girl behind an Instagram, I think at that moment I realized, okay, like this is a good start to like doing more traveling or getting more free meals. I actually never thought about getting paid because it was never something that was brought to me.
Gotcha. But there was a lot of free dessert.
A lot of free. It was everything. Yeah. Cookies, cakes, ice cream. I had to sign up for a gym after that. But, but probably when I hit probably 70 to 100,000, I got an email from someone saying, we have a new campaign regarding a product. We'd love to pay you. Can we have a conversation?
So again, you didn't even search it out. This all came to you.
No, it all came to me. And I think I like almost fainted. I was like, I can get paid for this. This is so cool. And then I, you know, spoke with my momager. And we got on a call with them. And it was pretty cool. It was like a conference call.
That's
and
awesome.
We just like discussed stuff. And they're like, you know, this is like what we were thinking. You know, are you aligned with this, you know, rate?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hell yeah. You're like, I was like, definitely.
Are you aligned?
So that was like my first paid campaign. And ever since then, it's been booming.
Gotcha. And then I was interesting. So now you went from 100 to 500,000. What did that jump look like?
To be honest, a lot of people are kind of shocked how that jump happened. I gained followers very, very fast.
Yeah.
And I think now with the whole algorithm and everything, it's very hard to keep gaining followers. And a lot of people that I've met, you know, kind of have put their Instagram to the side because they're just not seeing results.
Sure.
Like you said, I don't think I'm lucky. I just think I got in at the right time.
Sure. Well, timing, obviously quality of content.
But
you could have started the page and put out garbage and you'd have five followers still. So that's why I say it's like people go, luck. Well, yeah, timing is obviously a huge part of that. To start your page today would be a very different world.
Yeah. So it's definitely been a quick, I think every year I've hit like a big 100K. Mm. It's like I've gone from those huge milestones very rapidly.
So what advice would you give to people that are looking to do something like this right now?
So I get that question a lot. I get like these young girls on Instagram reach out to me. They're so adorable. They're like, we want to start an Instagram. You inspire us, blah, blah, blah. And I think I always say just like find your like niche. Like I love dessert. I love cheesy pizza, chicken fingers, french fries. So you kind of have to like find,
I know.
You kind of have to like find what you love and then just put it out there. And if, you know, people like it or they don't like it, they'll choose to follow you. And if not, sucks for them. They won't get to eat with their eyes.
Yeah.
That's what I always like to say. I think it's possible. I think a lot of people now, you know, influencers are kind of taking over. They're making it their job.
Yeah.
I do think it's possible. I just think now with the whole changes to Instagram and social media, you kind of just have to like find what you love and really, really push it out there. You got to work really hard.
Yeah. And I think the other problem too with a lot of the Instagram influencers, and we see this is it's a good way to get stuff for free, but a lot of time it's not necessarily a business where if you're not having people pay you for what you're doing, it's a glorified hobby at best. So we'll have people who call us up and go, oh, you know, I have 50,000 followers. Can you shoot my wedding for free? And I'm always like, that's a big ask, you know, like maybe 5 million. We could start talking about something. But you know, people are trying to over leverage what they have and you have to look at what the return on investment for that is. And if the return on investment there, it just doesn't make business sense. So I think people, overestimate what that, you know, those 10,000 followers. And I always laugh when people have like 300,000 and they have like two comments per picture. picture.
Yeah, you know, you can tell who was
they paid $299,000, yeah, which is a huge problem now too. But when you start looking at engagement, I feel like it is relatively transparent there. But you've gotten to work with some really cool brands as well. So, yeah. And not the mom and pop stuff, some real big national brands. Can you talk about how those brands found you and how those relationships evolved?
Yeah, so I was reached out to probably like 2 years ago. I was reached out by Ben & Jerry's. And Ben & Jerry's, if you're listening, I love my own flavor. But yeah, they reached out to me and they had said, you know, we love your page. We do these kind of like trips every year where we send influencers to the Ben & Jerry's headquarters in Vermont. And I think I was like, I wrote to my boss. I'm like, I'm taking off these days. Like, I need to go.
How cool is that?
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Ben & Jerry's is my favorite ice cream brand. I could eat pints of it every day.
Coincidentally, nothing to do with.
No, nothing to do with. I've been eating that ever since I was born.
It's great stuff.
So good. Yeah. Fish food's my favorite.
I'm a vanilla cookie dough person myself.
So they had sent me out there, hotel, flight. Spent like 3 days at like the headquarters. Then we went to the actual ice cream factory.
Cool.
Ate so much ice cream. And ever since then, to this day, I'm still extremely close with the people that work there. You know, they'll send me different flavors and we'll do like collabs, giveaways and stuff like that. Other brands I've worked with since the beginning, I've worked with Oreo,
cool,
Baskin Robbins.
And these people all finding you through your handles.
Yeah. From the amount of paid things that I've had, they've all come to me.
Awesome.
Which I like because they're seeing, you know, like potential.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes like I'll reach out, doesn't hurt, you never know. But a lot of my huge campaigns have always been them coming to me. And I've made relationships with people from the past. So they're always, you know, coming back for more, which shows me that my stuff worked.
Being that you're 5 years in, you're running a successful account, you're being paid for your posts. Where do you see your brand evolving? Like, what's the next step for this? Like, how do you, you know, for entrepreneurs out there who may have similar followings or maybe not as many followings, but that is down the road for them. How do you commoditize what you have right now? Obviously still staying loyal to your brand. Are you looking to potentially have your own? I seem passionate about ice cream. So is there a foodie ice cream down the line or like what ideas or concepts are you throwing around that you can talk about?
So I think definitely to continue what I'm doing, I love, you know, collabing with different people and, you know, showing my followers in the world, you know, their products that they want me to advertise for. So definitely keep that going because it's just fun. I love to, you know, get up new projects, shoot some photos, videos, and post about it. Obviously, the lifetime goal or the dream is to have my own ice cream company or have my own flavor with a huge company. So I could I find foodie is just a brand that anyone could really relate to.
Yep.
If you are a foodie and you like to eat healthy or if you, you know, like to go down the food porn route, like you are a foodie. It doesn't matter what type.
Sure. Or even if you want to eat healthy and just look at what you post.
Exactly.
To have like shameless guilt, like where you don't have to worry about the calorie count, but you can be like,
you just look at it. Exactly. But yeah, I always say I kind of want to like change the world. It's like my two goals, have my own ice cream flavor and change the world. So I'd love to, you know, have an ice cream brand and
ice cream brings happiness. So you could potentially change the world of ice cream there.
But you know, if it's maybe a certain amount of, you know, money that I make donate it to a great cause or that's something cool. I'm passionate about. So I always say I want to change the world by doing my favorite thing, eating ice cream.
So if you had to give like a time frame as to when you start developing this concept or is it already in the works?
So for Christmas, I actually got like a mini ice cream maker that's in my boyfriend's apartment. So
awesome.
He's like, one weekend, we got to just make some ice cream and see what happens. And I do have some contacts that I could probably reach out to, but yeah. I kind of want to come up with something first so that I have something to, you know, pitch. But
so it could happen now. Ample Hill.
I know. I love Ample
Hill. Ample Hill. They make a mean cookie dough.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm going to a shop in New York City, I think I'm going to take Ample Hill.
Yeah, their Rice Krispie flavor is crack.
Now, have you ever thought about going down that like actual brick and mortar scoop shot? Or would it be more like pints retail brand kind of thing?
I mean, I think I would love to have – I think for me, I want to go into a grocery store and see my pint in the freezer.
That's really interesting. And then what do you think about concepts like, you know, I think about places like that were hit sensations 2 years ago, like the dough craze where people were waiting online for cookie dough. That was vegan, which is kind of contradictory to me. Like, I want that. Like, I want all the fat and the butter and the eggs.
The ones from, the supermarket.
Yeah, I want the real one. I don't want the real one. It's still a little too fluffy. But what do you think about, like, concepts like that? Like, those brands who, you know, I mean, do they have lasting power? Do you think that those will be around 5 years from now, 10 years from now? How do you see, like, that economy of those?
I think it depends on what it is. I know the whole dough thing is still, you know, Kickin'. They had sent me like a recent cookbook they came out with, and they actually sent me raw cookie dough that I could eat. So I think it depends on what you're creating and how it kind of it, like, shows the world. Like, I know a lot of those places kind of break the internet, like Black Tap.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, like, so the Black Tap thing to me was fascinating. So I went there maybe like a year ago, and I get there on a Wednesday night, it's raining out. And I'm like, okay, I go to the front door. They're like, oh, it's a 2-hour wait. And I'm like, a 2-hour wait. It's pouring out in New York City. And there's 200 people standing outside down all the way down the street with umbrellas. And I'm like, and I'm trying to grease the guy at the door $50 to let me skip the line.
Yeah.
And he's just not like, it's not even registered. I'm like $100. And I'm like, forget it. And I leave. I come back like 2 months later, no wait, sit at the bar. We get it. And it was interesting because it was the first time I realized how much Instagram had influenced food, to the point where everyone in the restaurant had their cameras out, and that food really was created for Instagram.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like most people went there. I'm sure everything was great. The dessert was great. The milkshake was great, but really was posted on social media.
Oh yeah. Those places. I mean, even now, museums, Museum of Ice Cream, it's all for social media.
Yeah.
And they kill it. Like, they opened up a location in San Fran. I had the opportunity to go for like a
Which one is Black Tap or
Museum of Ice Cream? As an example.
Yep.
They had sent me out there to cover their new location. Everyone went just to post photos.
It's crazy.
Like, go down the jump in the sprinkle pool, you have to put on Instagram. But those places are extremely they benefit from social media because everyone wants to just post on Instagram. That's like what the world's come to.
Where do you see brands specifically that have done a great job in 2019? Where you look at it as someone who posts a lot to content, and you see that where you look at a brand and go, they're doing an amazing job, and this is why they're doing such a great job on social, versus a company who may need someone like you to help them.
Let's see. So I definitely have to say Museum of Ice Cream.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've really showed that they're more than just a museum. They believe in certain things. They're very into, you know, what's going on in the world, which is great. They're not just, you know, like a museum that serves ice cream.
Yep.
So they definitely kill it. They're opening a location in New York City very soon, which I'll be a part of.
Cool. When you say Museum of Ice Cream, like, that's really like an interactive museum.
Oh, yeah.
Which just plays on ice cream.
It's like, it's any ice cream lover's dream. You just walk in. There's like,
and they have real ice cream
pouring from the ceiling. They have ice cream as well.
Cool.
Yeah. It's pretty
just
good.
To be able to
go yeah. So they definitely kill it. Trying to think.
What about like a specific brand? Like, do you see like one ice cream brand or one dessert brand or like a Black Tap, right? I think it's fair to say they do. Their desserts really perform well, I would think, on Instagram because the way they look, they're so quote unquote photogenic, right?
Yeah.
That they've done an amazing job of commoditizing $22 milkshakes, you know, which I mean, I'm sure their margins are amazing because ice cream is pretty cheap. Like, have you seen anyone else that stands out to you where you're like, all right, that's really cool what they're doing right now?
So there's a cookie brand called Chip New York City.
Yep.
They, I think, do a great job at showing off their cookies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are into like opening the cookie and having Nutella pour out all over the place. So they're definitely, I definitely think on Instagram, like, they have different cookies they serve every day. So every single day they're posting the exact cookies that you can get. I think that's important because a lot of places, you know, like if you like are craving chocolate chip cookie and you go there, they might not have it.
Mm.
You're disappointed. So I think on social media, people are going to that as like get answers kind of. So I think they kill it in a way where they're really showing like the ooey gooeyness that everyone wants. So definitely they're one of the brands I think have killed it so far. And they're opening up a location on Bleecker Street. So it shows that what they're doing is working.
What do you think? I mean, and do you see brands where you're like, oof, they could be doing such a better job? You don't have to mention it, but do you see brands where you're like, oh, they could be doing such a better job? I mean, I see that in my business, right? I see people who are so talented and they're clueless when it comes to social. And I think a lot of people have lagged behind the times and they don't realize, you know, buying ad time on Prime TV is becoming a thing of the past, and really having a massive presence on social media is where you need to be. Have you seen brands who could use some of your help?
I think I see this more with restaurants. Mm. I know, like, if my family says, oh, we're going to, you know, this restaurant tonight, you know, my sister and I will go on Instagram and like see what the food is before we get there. So I think that I've seen a lot of restaurants not really post their food. And I think it might be because they don't feel that they need to. They feel like they're already a successful restaurant that they don't need, you know, to post photos. But I think they're missing the whole millennial
See, it's interesting because I'm not a millennial, right? I'm almost 40. So I market to millennials in my business. And I realize that only people care about is the first 9 tiles on Instagram. Like, you have to know those things. Yeah. Whereas I think a lot of restaurant owners, not even that they don't feel their work is up to it, they just don't know any better at this point. A lot of them are just clueless. You know, I'll see, and people in the wedding industry do it too. And I know people who have massive businesses and have no social media presence. And they'll tell me, oh, what do I need that for? And I'm like,
I know.
Who are you selling to? And I'm like, these girls for their wedding are on Instagram 20 hours a day and you're not. Like, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can get by for a certain period of time. You know, you're an iconic brand, but eventually even those iconic brands are going to start to get chipped away. You know, and look, we have, who's closing today? Which, Barney's?
Yeah.
No, Barney's.
Barney's. Right? They have a whole Instagram campaign about it.
But it's, they're closing, you know, and I think I'm like, if that can happen to them, that can happen to anyone else. And if you don't amend your business to become part of the times, you're going to have real problems down the line.
Yeah.
And that's an iconic retail. And I understand retail is going through hell right now, but you still really need to consider, like what we were saying is it's super important to have that presence, because I'm sitting here and you're talking about how before you go to a restaurant, which I don't personally do, but you do, you research the pictures online to make sure you like the way the food looks. Yeah. I've never done that.
That's all I do. Yeah, I know. My boyfriend's like, let's go here. I'm like, I have to see how the pasta looks.
I've actually never read a Yelp review. Probably should sometimes, but I haven't, you know, and I'm just like, whatever. You know? Yeah.
No, Instagram is my go-to.
That's hysterical.
I mean, I look at it to see like what stores, like what clothing they have.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And if you're a restaurant, right, because I have a lot of friends in the restaurant industry, what's the first step? Because here's the problem people face. And I know a lot of individual restaurant owners, probably the same to wedding people. They either A, don't have the personnel in office, or B, don't have the budget to have a dedicated person. Now, I'm blessed. I have Julia here who runs all my social. I could literally not look at my Instagram account for a month. Every message has been replied to. Images are posted. Yeah. We did your sister's wedding recently. It's, you know, I mean, I don't have to think about it. Now, that being said, I'm involved in it because I feel like it's a huge part of the business and I enjoy doing it. But if you don't have access to that, how would you help these restaurant people? Really, what's the beginning of curating great images without needing to hire a professional photographer, have a social media director in-house?
So I think, you know, you don't need any fancy camera.
Well, now with the iPhone.
I love my iPhone. Yeah. iPhone Pro Max.
Yes, sir.
I think it's just, it's mainly about photos because, you know, if you post a photo of a burger and it's like dark and the bun looks a little, you know, interesting, you're not, probably not going to get a lot of eyes on it. But I think it's really just taking a well-lit photo. Go outside. Whenever I go to events, I literally am outside on the street, like holding, you know, burgers in my hand, taking a picture and like a funny, witty caption or we're having a deal today. Buy 2 burgers, get 1 free. Something that like will bring people in. Obviously, like you said, not a lot of restaurants and establishments have the budget or person to do these things. I almost feel like anyone can do it. You know, even if you're not a millennial, you could have, you know, try and take some photos. It's definitely hard depending on the situation, but I don't think it's as hard as people think it is. I think people are a little scared of social media because it's very, I mean, it's very powerful. But yeah, I just think maybe like take a breath, take some photos, or you can ask some friends. I'm also available if anyone needs help.
So that being said, like as restaurants now, so as you've built your following, I'm assuming you get asked by a lot of restaurants, how do you decide what's on brand, what's off brand as you're curating your content? Cause I'm sure at this point you're probably able to get a lot of free meals in Manhattan. How do you say, okay, this makes the most sense to go here or I want to eat there?
So I go on Instagram and I look up their Instagram. I see, you know, like what kind of content they have, or I really honestly just look up the menu. I wouldn't say I'm a huge picky eater, but I'm a little picky eater. But luckily I have friends and my family that are a little more extravagant, so they can eat, you know, the fish and the duck and everything. But yeah, I kind of go on Instagram. Obviously, if it's something, I probably would never say no to like a salad company. I actually worked with Just Salad like probably 3 years ago, and they wanted to do like, hey, you know, we'd love to do a giveaway with you, you know, post a salad. So like, I'm not going to say no to that.
Sure.
But when I went, like I got the buffalo chicken salad. So like I made it like with the fried chicken and dressing to like appeal to people because I know what my followers like.
They don't want to see like kale and
fish. They'll be like, broccoli. Are you like, did someone hack your account?
Yeah. Although it would be funny.
It's pretty funny because people are like, hello, like Tessa, are you there? So I kind of know based on like the place. But I feel like life's too short. I rarely say no to things. Because I want to experience it, and you never know what could come out of it.
So I think what you're saying is really insightful, though, to people who are listening now who own their own businesses, who are in my space, who are in the wedding space, because I think it correlates a lot of the same ways is that you really need to listen to what you're saying, because you're who we're selling to at this point. And I don't think people have grasped that yet, is millennials buy things very differently than someone like myself does. Like, I don't actually go on Instagram, although I take that back. Like, I'm looking to get another dog, and I go on Instagram all the time to like look for
puppies.
You'll
definitely find a lot of dog Instagrams.
Yes, a lot of breeders are on Instagram. But to use it as a research tool in the way you're using it, you know, as you're looking for restaurants, or as I'm assuming your sister probably did when she was getting married, your family did when they were getting married, it really has revolutionized how we absorb content and how we research what we want to do, where we want to go, where we want to eat. And for people listening, like, they need to really understand that is, if you're not there, you're missing out on business, because from what you're saying, if they don't have an Instagram account, you're probably not going there. And if their Instagram account looks like garbage, you're not eating there.
Yeah.
And people need to really understand they're losing out on what it could be, or eventually their business in completion, because
100%.
If you're not appealing to people online in the way that you're buying, you're not there.
Definitely. I feel like even now going on honeymoons, like, people want to see those huts in the water with the clear, you know, with the fish swimming under you. Like, people on Instagram are seeing that, and then they're going to book their vacations.
Yeah.
So it's shopping, it's food, it's travel.
I mean, we get it too. Like, I'll have people come in and be like, I saw this picture on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed though when they tell me that they saw a picture on Instagram in like a sunflower field in Italy, and they're like, I want to do that in the middle of Manhattan. I'm like, you do realize that was in like Tuscany at sunset.
People want it.
Thousands
they see
of
it.
Miles away. Yeah. It's not on 42nd Street of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. I'm like, just so we're in the same context. But going forward, as you've started to, because I think it's cool that you're eventually going to start your own brand here, right? What goes into that? Like, what have you started to play around with? Like, have you started even looking at investors yet, or not yet?
I kind of like am dipping my toe. Okay. I haven't like.
So anyone here
myself.
Who has a lot of money that wants to invest in your ice cream opportunity can hit you.
Yeah, definitely. foodie@gmail.com.
So
yeah.
Really beginning.
Yeah, really beginning. Okay. I feel like I'm almost like a little scared, but then I'm like, what's there to be scared about?
You
know, if something happens,
scared in what sense?
People won't like it. Mm. It won't be successful. I think it's just more of like what people think, but at the same time, you kind of have to let that go a little and just follow your dreams.
Yeah,
kind
so
of what
I screw all that stuff.
Yeah, right. I'll eat my own flavor then.
Your own flavor
exactly.
Then, yeah.
But I think it's just like, I think where I am in my life, I think I'm ready for something like this. I think I've been fortunate. I have a great job aside from my foodie. I have a great brand I've built, great friends, great family. So I feel like now is like the time to
how much time
dive
does it
in.
Take to run your account a week?
So I'm probably, obviously when I'm at work, I'm not really on my Instagram because I'm focused. But yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram probably, you know, before work, after work, on the weekends. Sometimes I like to obviously put it aside and enjoy real life. But it takes a lot of time. And I think with certain campaigns, especially, you know, if these people have specific criteria or, you know, specific things that they want in the photos, it takes a little bit more time and more focus.
Especially when you're trying to curate specific shots.
Yeah. You know, for approval, they want to see your photos, they want to see your captions, and things need to be revised, and you have to, you know, redo the whole photo shoot. So with that kind of stuff, it takes a while. But if I'm out to dinner with my family and I have like a Mullen chocolate cake and I like my like, you know, like dip into it, it goes up in like 3 seconds. So kind of just depends on the content. But a lot of it is in real time, which I like, because people like to see like what you're doing. Every second.
Have you found that the brands you work with, or when people pay for concepts, they give you the freedom to do what you do, or do they want to really micromanage what you're posting?
So a lot of the people that I've worked with kind of are just like, this is our product, you know,
Oreos,
showcase what you want.
Like, here's a box of Oreos, do your thing with it.
Some people like to go with themes. So some people like to do, hey, you know, we came out with this alcohol, can you do something around Christmas or, you know, Thanksgiving? So it kind of depends on the brand, but a lot of the time it's, we'd love to send you this product. You know, can you make it to fit your theme of your Instagram? Because I do like my theme, how it's very, you know, food porny. So if it's me, you know, eating something on camera, or, you know, posting a boomerang of pouring cereal out into like milk and it like splashing everywhere. So it's kind of, they really give me the freedom.
Cool.
Sometimes I just have to, you know, abide by a theme or what they would want the pictures to be.
You ever have anyone who does want you to do something that's so off brand where you're like, I can't do that?
So one funny thing, I don't know if you ever heard of Tim Tams. Mm-hmm. So they're an Australian cookie mm-hmm. brand. When I first started my Instagram, I really wasn't on camera. I was kind of like embarrassed.
So you would just post food without you?
Just post food. I wouldn't like that's when Insta story wasn't a thing. Now yeah. I'm all over my Instagram story. Yeah. Exactly. It's always my face. But they had wanted me to do the Tim Tam slam. I don't know if you've heard of it, where you have to like dip the cookie, eat it, and then slurp it like a straw. And I was like so mortified, but like it was a fun, you know, paid sure. thing. And I didn't want to like come off like I couldn't do it. So I remember I was in my kitchen and I was here and I luckily had a friend that was a photographer and he was filming me. And I probably ate like 60 of those cookies and I thought I was going to be so sick, but it was like you had to do such a specific thing. And I was so nervous about it, but it ended up coming out so great and they loved it. So I think at first I was a little hesitant because I was like, oh my God, I have to be on camera and like post it to my followers. Sure. But everyone ended up loving it. But most of the time I'm not really in it, but now I'm comfortable. So I'll do anything.
So going back a little bit in your life, which I always find to be the precipice for where people come here, did you have an entrepreneurial spirit as a kid? Were you like hacking like donuts and then the cafeteria in school, or did this just come about by happen chance on the train that day?
I've always loved food. Who doesn't? If you don't, sure, I feel sure, bad sure. for you. So I was always around food, like birthday parties or, you know, going out with my friends, sure, like pizza sure. on Friday night, you know, et cetera. I always had like a drive. I've always like wanted to like fulfill things and like make a difference.
Yep.
So I feel like I've always, as a younger, maybe as I was in college, I took a lot of like entrepreneur classes. But I think starting my Instagram really like made it come out where like, this is what I want to do.
How old were you when you started your Instagram?
So it was 5 years ago. So I was 22.
Okay, cool. So right out of college.
Yeah, I graduated, worked at CBS News on my way to the train.
Do you see a point where your Instagram handle or the Instagram business that you have and food blogging will be a full-time job for you without anything else?
So I get that question a lot. I don't know. I kind of like having a 9-to-5 sure. and my Instagram, kind of the best of both worlds. Yep. I think now with influencing, you know, there's a lot of what if. I know like a few months ago, Instagram kind of crashed and wasn't working. And all these bloggers the next day were like, we thought we were going to lose our jobs. And I think it's a very scary moment in today's time if that would happen. Obviously, sure. you know, you could lose your job of any course. Day. But I like having best of both worlds. I think, you know, with my goal of having my own ice cream, that is kind of where I see it. Because I like working and being able to sure. still have my Instagram.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you'll have a side business, which yeah. becomes
a little side hustle.
Well, it sounds like it's bigger than a side.
Big side hustle
now, you know. Yeah. If you had to say like, what was the biggest thing you realized through this whole process, what would that be?
I think it's that I like mean something. It's kind of weird. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people like love my account and they're so like, not like I never like to sound cocky, but like a lot of people like will message me and be like, you know, what you post like makes us so happy. And, you know, you're so like inspiring. And it's like, I always like knew I meant something, but it's nice to like have strangers like come up to me and be like, we love what you post, you know, and I don't even know them, stuff like that.
Do you ever feel weird putting yourself out there so much?
Not really. I think in the beginning I did, but now it's like, I think I'd feel weird if I was posting weird things,
sure.
but I think I try and post things that people can, you know, relate to. Like if sure. it's me at the gym, you know, like I'm posting what gym I'm at. So hopefully, you know, people will, you know, I've had people be like, you're so inspiring. Like I really need to get to the gym. And it's like, well, you know, I have to go to the gym because look what I eat on my Instagram. So I kind of like, I don't feel weird. I think some people do, but I feel like nowadays there's worse things in the world.
So what are the goals other than the ice cream?
The goals. I don't know. I feel like people always ask like, do I want to expand my team? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are actually shocked that it's just me besides my momager and other, you know, people on my team, a little, you know, like sure. a lawyer and stuff like that. But I kind of like just having myself. Mm. I find it might be a little more difficult to have multiple people because, you know, then the views change and you know what you want to post, et cetera.
It's very rewarding, but very challenging sometimes.
Yeah. Like but you know, I've been doing it for 5 years and I've been pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm the foodie.
Yeah.
I could have like mini foodies, like, you know,
helping. What about ever hosting like an online TV show or?
So I think it goes back to being like more confident in myself to do that. I was actually lucky enough to get on a Gordon Ramsay show.
Yeah.
I was on 24 Hours to Hell and Back. I had like a little part where I was like complimenting salad dressing. My friend, someone had reached out to her and she's like, oh, do you and a friend want to come on a show?
That's cool.
They didn't tell us anything because we had to like sign a contract. And then afterwards when they released it, I was on it. So that was pretty cool. And it kind of just like made me able to be on a show. I've always wanted to start my own kind of podcast, like a food podcast.
Nice.
So this is inspiring to be on yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I think now it's just more of my ice cream. It's probably my focus of how to expand.
Best dessert you've ever had.
Ooh, this is hard. So Bodega Negra.
Really?
In the Dream Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on 16th and 9th, between 9th and 10th.
9th and 10th, yeah.
Or on the west 15th, side.
Yeah, meat pack.
The dessert, it's like Jose Cuervo. It's like a white chocolate dome. So it's like the circle that comes out. 3D, it has a little mustache on it. Hot caramel that they pour onto it. And I don't know how they figured it out, but as they pour, it breaks open perfectly. And there's a chocolate molten cake inside.
Whoa.
It is the sickest thing ever.
Interesting.
And I've had a lot of dessert in my day.
Yes, because I'm a cookie person. Best cookies.
Best cookies. Are you into like ooey gooey or like warm?
Like think 16-inch insomnia pie with like two scoops of ice cream on it. Hot.
So my top two.
That gives you like, that's my.
Insomnia cookies.
There you go. Okay, cool.
And Chip New York City.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm an insomnia. Give me the whole pie. I want the pie.
Have you ever gone to the truck?
No.
Oh, they had in Philly where my sister went to school. They had an insomnia truck that was out till probably 4 a.m. And all these kids, you know, after going out. They wanted cookies. So we would wait online and there would be an oven. Like you would get the cookie and it's like melting in your hand.
That to me is heaven. Like reincarnate. Like I can do damage on those.
Yeah.
I could eat the whole 16-inch pie though. That's the bad part. And I get really sick afterwards.
Yeah.
In terms of like advice, if you had to give yourself one piece of advice from today, looking back 5 years ago to when you started this business, that would change where you are right now. What would that be?
Probably don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Mm. I think when I was, you know, back in the day, I'd go to events, I'd think I'd be a little overwhelmed by other people.
Sure.
Because at the time, you know, there were other bloggers there that had more followers than me and they were a little bit more, you know, out there and very outspoken. I was kind of quiet. But I think now like I'm okay, like it's okay to like be, you know, out there and like show who you are, show your brand, you know, don't be so like nervous and like if you believe in like yourself and you believe in your brand, then just go with it.
No, and I agree with that. Like when I started this at first, I cared what people thought of it. And then like, as I started doing it more, I truly don't care what anyone thinks about it. And if they like it, awesome. And if it brings value to you, great. The beautiful thing about it is if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. So,
exactly.
But at first I was like so caught up in what are people going to think? It does a disservice to yourself. Whereas now I'm like, if people like it, great. If they don't, equally as great. And that's all that's to me all that matters. So I can totally like understand where you're coming from on that and how that could be. It's hard to put yourself out there because you don't know how people are going to react to it. And ultimately, you know, we care about what people think and it can
and
be
I think
hard.
With social media now, it's very, you know, people post photos of themselves and if they're not getting a certain amount of likes or comments, they, you know, feel like shit. And it's like,
have you seen Social Animals yet?
No.
I got to watch that Netflix documentary. It's really crazy. It's about these three kids and they do like really extreme stuff to get followers and likes on Instagram. I mean, like death defying stuff. Not
like Jackass type of stuff.
Except like he'll be hanging off the top of a bridge, taking photos. Yeah, he's a photographer. Wow. He's really talented, but he does crazy, crazy stuff. Like he'll stand at the top of the Empire State Building, sneak up, stand on a ledge and photograph himself hanging up. It's insane. It's pretty out there. All for taking it to like that thrill of getting, at the end of the day, more followers, which kind of extreme.
It's a little scary.
A little scary. So I just want to thank you for coming in.
This is really
fun.
Yeah.
Before we finish, we got sent some food here. So Bread's Bakery sent
the best
vodka
in
the world.
New York City.
And we have a mutual friend who works there, Danielle.
I'm going to have to we'll have to send her a selfie after this eating the vodka.
I'm going to get into some vodka.
Thanks.
Get into some vodka. And I know you've worked with her before, right?
I have.
I know. She heard
I work with Bread's a lot.
And great. What are they? So how does that work? So if they want to like have you feature them, they just send you stuff and.
No, so their location is like 2 blocks from my office. So they'll reach out and be like, hey, we have like a Rosh Hashanah package. Like, can you come pick it up? And it's like a challah and like all this food. My office loves it. So they're very lucky
to
have me.
They must love you.
Yeah. But then I bring it. I know. They're like, we're not getting food today. I'm like, okay, relax tomorrow. Or I bring it home to my family. Like we have like 15 of these in our house.
This is absolute. To me, I'm not a big bread person. This is crack.
It is. With a glass of milk.
And have you done stuff with Dylan's yet or no?
I have.
Which you brought for us. Thank you, Bella.
I've done a lot of stuff with Dylan's. They're also 2 blocks from my office, which is have pros and cons.
Which one do you go to?
Union Square.
Okay.
When I'm like craving sugar, I just go in there. But they actually started in their a few locations the cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the face of the cotton candy event. So I had like posted on my Instagram and all these people came and there was like an event. So I had all these people like, oh, you're foodie. So nice to meet you. Can we take a picture with you?
Hysterical.
And I did like a Halloween giveaway with them last week. So it's pretty fun to work with these people.
I love what she's done with her brand too. It's amazing what she's built selling candy. You know, it's pretty wild to think.
Any candy lover's dream. Go in and you could smell it from down the block.
Yeah. It's a sugar heaven.
Uh-huh.
I actually went to Jelly Belly, the factory.
Really?
And yeah, when they manufacture it, the sugar goes in the air, so you have to wear a respirator. So much sugar floating around. It's pretty crazy.
Get sugar high.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Super fun.
Yes.
And I love talking to you. I love what you're doing. And I support it. I wish you all the best. I think one day you'll have an amazing ice cream brand. One request, put in some chocolate chip cookie dough for me because that's my
favorite.
Good. All right, sounds good. And this was awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For people who want to find you, best way to contact you if they're interested in connecting with you to promote their brands and best way to find you on social.
So social is foodie, 4 O's, 3 E's. The logo is lips with like sprinkles on them.
Yep.
Huge sprinkle lover. And then foodie@gmail.com is my email. And if you go on foodie.com, my information's there as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll include links in the show and I want to thank you again for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world.